crossover is...
Crossover dribble.
Sing for the crossover.
Kyrie Irving, crossover in the lane.
One of the most famous crossovers of all time.
Behind the back, an ankle breaker on Chris Paul.
Crossover.
Crossover.
Crossover, double crossover.
The crossover continues to evolve.
Time for the crossover on Big Ten Media Days as the Minnesota Golden Gophers are rowing that boat in front of the media. Gary Sharp Show featuring George starts now. You guys going to take Scott Frost live at 10:30 and bring him up and hear what old Scotty needs to say for about 15 minutes in front of the assembled media?
Did you guys carry Kevin Warren?
No, we did not. We were really backed up. We didn't carry him. He started at night. Yeah.
Well, I thought there was a stretch there where he wasn't going to take questions.
Well, he did. That one guy's question lasted at least 2 minutes. They kept showing him. They had a woman standing next to him with the microphone. He was just blah, 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 blah. I have no idea what he was saying, but it was a really long question.
See, I'm a big fan of just no opening statement. You just get up there, they introduce the coach, and you say, open it up for questions.
Get right to it.
And and you know what? And you can still dictate the tone of where you're going by the way you answer the questions. But after a while, some coaches get up there and their opening statement is like 15 minutes, and you're like, what?
And they only get 15.
I mean,
that's all they get. 15 now and then an hour and coming up later.
Yeah, I said 10 starters apiece, 89% returning production.
Yep, they're right up there.
Which
this year, for whatever reason, probably has them, what, right inside the top 10?
Of returning production?
Yeah, because we have some people with 96%.
Yeah. I know they're second in the Big Ten. Like, that's all I know for sure.
Yeah.
Like 15th or 16th.
Yeah, it's crazy that you could have where Nebraska is right now normally would have you in the top 20. I think it was like 76% would have you in the top 20. Instead, they're like 76th.
Just weird. I said this yesterday, and I've said this a couple of times.
Well, they have 17 out of 22 starters back, right?
Which is crazy, mm-hmm. And that's tells you how much super senior stuff is.
But with all the super seniors and... Well, Minnesota have 89% of their production returning.
Shoot, Michigan's is high.
Do you know less about college football, like the marquee players?
It kind of feels like that.
I use the cover of Phil Steele as an example.
Yeah, like I said, I was shocked because he knows everybody. I said Daxton Hill the other day.
Yeah, I didn't recognize that name.
Who I think is one of the best safeties in the country. But I would say that, yes.
You in the fence post, probably the only, unless you follow that program.
It was Michigan.
Oh.
But yes, I do feel like if you said, and there's so many good players that have like transferred too. So I bet I couldn't.
I mean, well, just look at the.
I would miss it, Charlie.
So the cover of Phil Steele, you have Spencer Rattler,
yes.
Who will be a second year starter.
Yep.
Chris Olave, who's been, again, at Ohio State forever. And then you have two guys that, unless you're deep into Clemson and Alabama, they were not frontline guys last year,
right.
Even though they're really good players. So it's just it's like a transition in college football this year where there's still really good talent, but you can't rattle off like name after name after name, which maybe leads to a wild college football season.
Well, I hope so because I like right now, if you ask me, I wouldn't pick Clemson to make the playoffs, so... There's one usual suspect that wouldn't be there for me. I don't know if that makes it wild.
Do I get a pass? Can I
lose to Georgia or no?
Can I call you on September 5th and tell you how
they lose to Georgia? Who they lose to, you think, in the conference? Because they can lose two, right, and probably still have a chance?
I don't think they could lose two.
You know they could lose two?
Not in that conference.
Not in that conference.
But either one of them, the losses would be to Georgia. And then if you still get in the ACC title game, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Depending on how it shook out, this is way, like, for instance, a reason why I say that, like, what if between Ohio State or Iowa State and Oklahoma, there's only one loss until the Big 12 championship game between the two teams?
The second one?
Yeah. So, I mean, it just something like that's not that far-fetched, right? Where, you know, Oklahoma wins the first one or Iowa State wins the first one and then the next team wins in the Big 12 championship game, that would be very, very interesting.
That would be the best-case scenario for the Big 12.
Clemson, right? Wouldn't that be something?
Clemson goes on the road to NC State, Syracuse, Pittsburgh, and South Carolina, three of the worst teams in the ACC.
Yeah, although I do like the fact
– that's going to be tough.
I do like the fact Pittsburgh has Pickett back. So, I mean, that's going to give them a chance anytime you have good quarterback play.
South Carolina, I think 4 wins is what they're projected. I don't know what Syracuse is, NC State, but, and then they get Connecticut. Woohoo!
It's always good on the schedule to have an independent come into play that's not named Notre Dame.
To have that, right. Connecticut, by the way, is coming off a bye that week, in case you're worrying about Clemson.
How was Randy Edsall still at Connecticut?
Well, he didn't play last year.
I mean,
he got the bye last year.
What is he, 6-38? I think he's 6-38 in his second go around at UConn.
Which is crazy, that's too, rough. Because he's being pit against his own success.
Exactly.
I mean, you got Greg Schiano 2.0. It looks like he might be okay.
I don't know. Are they going to keep recruiting like that?
Oh, have you seen how the East is recruiting? I mean, they're almost forced to because of who's in that division.
Yeah, and they go so early. It seems like the East goes earlier than the West.
I'll tell you a good question here. And this is, you pick and choose where you ask questions. But if you had both the Iowa head football coach and the Nebraska head football coach on the side, I think a real question for both of them, why are you both in a slump recruiting? Have you looked at the rivals' ratings in the Big Ten? You see who's at the bottom?
But it's always late for the West.
But Nebraska...
for Minnesota last year, who went out early. The West always comes in late.
Not this kind of slump. Not that Nebraska and Iowa.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. Because we were questioning it last year. When are they going to come in?
Well, I think last year was just the opposite, though, remember? Because Illinois and Minnesota. There were a couple of good schools. Minnesota got off to the good start. And Schaefer was like, hey, just be patient. Those guys are coming. But they... But Nebraska wasn't in as precarious a shape last year as they were this year. I mean, because what, they have five? How many recruits?
They have eight. Both Iowa and Nebraska have eight, and they're both at the bottom of the rivals in 24/7 rating.
Three or four last year for a long time.
The funny thing is Nebraska's not going to take a big number. So yeah,
they take 15.
You're going to need some really...
They're sitting at 13-14 right now.
Yeah,
right. I mean, that's... you can look at, like, Iowa, you could probably make a case.
You don't think they're going to move into the top seven? Nebraska, at least, for sure.
I don't think Nebraska will.
You don't think, even with, if they get 15?
No, I don't think so. Give me the four-star that's going to vault them. There aren't a lot that have Nebraska out there.
They've hit late on theirs a lot of times, so I don't know when it happens.
It's a long way to go without a couple thoroughbreds. Long way to go on a small number.
Iowa, you could say, okay, is it Kirk's age? Is it all the stuff that went on last year is finally coming back to roost?
Or is it because they have so many, again, players back?
It could be.
Maybe they're backed up too, like Nebraska is on their overall 85.
I mean, there's all those elements, but I think it's just a surprise to see Nebraska and Iowa at the bottom of the recruiting rankings. Yeah. I mean, Iowa isn't always going to, Iowa isn't jumping into the top 25, but Iowa is not last in the league. You know, it's probably more of a surprise where Nebraska is with their eight commitments.
Iowa's been around 36, 37 overall. Nebraska's been between 21 and 23. That's over the last five seasons. So they really haven't been, they've been inside the top 20 twice, at 20 once.
I think you're going to see a gap develop between the East Division and the West Division when it comes to recruiting. Just because the geography will start to kick in. And you can't get
inside the top four.
You are forced in the East Division to recruit nonstop, or you're just going to get destroyed by the behemoth that is at the top. And then the other team that recruits fairly well, who sits right behind him, and then whoever is the head coach at Michigan, Michigan's always going to recruit well. Penn State, Michigan. You have Schiano, who is a really, really good recruiter. Mike Loxley's a really, really good recruiter.
Dude, Indiana's been recruiting well.
Yeah. I mean, Loxley recruits so many numbers. They get so many guys. That certainly helps their overall ranking, but their star overall ranking isn't great. But they do a really good job of bringing in a ton of people, of guys. I think they did the biggest class last year.
But you have more of a, let's grab stars in the East and let's develop in the West.
Hmm. Do you know in the last 4 years, which Big Ten West team has the best record in one-score games?
Northwestern.
At 11-3.
Yeah, he's been like... Shoot, at one point, they were like
It was Iowa for a while.
You know what I'm surprised?
It was Iowa for a while.
I'm not surprised by their success. I'm surprised they haven't played more. Because doesn't it seem like every Saturday, Northwestern is locked in a one-score game?
So 14 for them, the most out of any of these teams, is Purdue. They had 18.
They went 7 in the last 3 years,
last
right?
4 years. Last 4 years, they went 7-11. So 18 for them. The next closest is Iowa had 17 of them, and they went 6-11. But on the other side,
because I think since Nebraska's been in the Big Ten, Northwestern, if you and the West has played the most one score games on that side of the conference.
For Nebraska, they're 6-7 in one score games over the last 4 years, 6-16 in multi score games.
Hmm.
That's
horrible.
A good stat at all.
It's bad. Really bad.
Just looking at.
That's the Bill Connolly stat, right?
Yes.
So I am. So what is Northwestern in multi-score games?
10 and 11.
Okay.
Whereas Wisconsin and Iowa, the teams that have won, that are considered the best talent-wise outside of Nebraska, 20 and 7 for Wisconsin in multi-scores, 15 and 3 for Iowa.
I'm just looking at Maryland's composite rankings. Right now, they're in the top 30. Goodwin's a 4-star. Tangwell's a 4-star. Thornton's a 4-star. Linthicum is a 4-star. Pennon's a 4-star. Catron Evans is a 4-star. How's that happening?
But what did they do last year? They were in the top 20 last year, weren't they?
He's recruited pretty well since he's been there. And they've also done pretty well in the portal. Now, they've lost some guys, but
Indiana doing what they're doing in the portal?
Because they're winning, and Tom Allen. So to answer your question before you respond, that's something that I inquired about. I guess because there is such a love between players and Tom Allen that a lot of the current players at Indiana have gone all in on helping recruit out of the portal.
Now Maryland's coming back to the pack and recruiting in 2022 so far. But still, 12 commits. Nobody above a 3-star.
What's Michigan State? 12th, 11th, 12th?
Yeah, what did he tell us the last time we were in Chicago?
I love you guys.
No, this dude said, listen, he said this is the best recruiting run they've had in the school's
history. For Indiana?
In the school's history.
Yeah, for Indiana.
We looked at him like.
Look at, you need that one guy, and then you need a season, and you get some momentum, and people want, your program becomes attractive.
And Maryland was 19 last year, so they were in the top 20 last year.
So 19. This is...
Yeah, they had a good class.
Essentially, if you look at Indiana in Indianapolis this weekend...
24.
They've got a very popular head coach who has a love affair with his team. You can tell that their culture has kicked in. They've got momentum. They've had a couple of nice seasons back-to-back. They got a returning top-notch quarterback that everybody's talking about. People are loving on Indiana. They are preseason top 15. You know who that was supposed to be this year? It's supposed to be the team that talks in just a little bit.
Yeah.
All of those like elements were supposed to be part of the makeup. But good on Indiana. I mean, who would have thunk even 2 years ago that Indiana-Iowa would be a monster game on September 4th?
I can't believe that's the opener.
We'll see how they go. You know, Penix hasn't been able to stay healthy his career. So how many games can he play this year? Can he play? Because there's not the veteran backup behind him to come in his place. So we'll see.
Insert quarterback, though, if a guy gets hurt.
Yeah. But, I mean, for them, the last couple of times, they've had some guys come in who had experience already. They don't necessarily have that this year.
If they start 3-0 because that third game is Cincinnati and Bloomington, people are going to be loving Indiana football. They'll be saying that's a football school.
I don't know. I mean, Fudge, Alabama has 2 5-stars on their bench. If Bryce gets hurt, they're in trouble. I just think it's at the quarterback spot. It's hard to have a good good number two in college.
A little bit easier at Alabama.
What happens to the local 22?
They're going to lean on the rest.
It's just hard, man.
I think you're being kind.
Fudge, Ohio State has 14.5 stars between their top three guys competing for a job. And if one of them got hurt, it'd probably be tough.
Well, they've proven when their quarterback gets hurt, they still win.
One time that they're all young.
Did I see that C.J. Stroud, who hasn't even played a game at Ohio State, got votes for the Offensive Player of the Year?
Yeah. You also saw that Mikey Williams is getting ready to sign a multi-million dollar NIL deal.
I did see
that. And can't play a
lick. Yes, I did see that. So look at this. You've got... So, you know, the quarterbacks in college football this year, Purdy, Howell, Slovis, the Pitts kid at Liberty. You've got the two of the more talked about guys in college football quarterback have either played mop-up duty or have not even played a game in Stroud in Ohio State and Bryce Young at Alabama.
I like Slovis, though.
And really, nobody's really talking much about Clemson's quarterback. Notre Dame was an attrition last year, or you think that's who he is?
I think he's pretty good.
I think he's pretty good, too. I mean, when was the last time Clemson had a poor quarterback under Sweeney?
He left.
Yeah.
He went to Missouri.
Yep, Bryant.
Yeah. So they've got.
And he won games.
Yeah. You know? So they've. So that position, I don't think they have to worry about. Like, there's certain places. Like, I don't think at Ohio State they have to worry about the quarterback. There's just certain places where the quarterback is going to be fine because it is year after year after year.
Well, who's up next? Who's after Fleck? Because Frost is what? Is
he's
he 10:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. They break down everything that I just. Tanner sent an email. He said, "I'm already done with PJ Fleck.
I just want to be in the Listen,
Tanner,
I've said
Morgan
that.
Said that.
No,
TC.
That's a story.
Now that would be
that's
breaking
a story
news.
Right there.
Your
that's
quarterback has said, "I've had enough.
I'm done with that guy." He's
the it doesn't really matter what we think. His players apparently have bought in.
Yes.
He could say, "You know what? I think it's great." You know. Mars has a ton of water that's ready for use for the United States. As long as his players believe that, it doesn't matter what we think. And they appear to be believing whatever it is that he's saying.
And he's had kind of a quiet offseason. He wrote a book. Did you know that? PJ Fleck wrote a book this summer.
Huh.
But he hasn't been in the news very much, which makes you think, okay, either he likes what he has, or he's made a concerted effort not to be out there, because they got an opportunity on a Thursday night when they play Ohio State to kick off the season. They can either make a monster statement.
That's an experienced defense, although they weren't good from a year ago going against a first-time starting quarterback. It's got to be worth something. You got an experienced offensive line. You have two of the better skill guys in the league with Autumn Bell and Ibrahim.
And think about this. Ohio State's going – now, it's not like Ohio State is a perfect team. I mean, they've got some things to figure out. But they're going on the road with a freshman quarterback opening night Thursday. I mean, that Thursday games in the prime time to kick off the season, sometimes something wonky happens. You know, either an upset or, you know, a game that is much closer than it should be. Because the line is double figures, right? It's a couple of touchdown favorite for Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
By the way, Nebraska's last 4 years, their average recruiting is 18.
So they're inside of what you're saying, 21, 23 now? They're 18?
They're 18 now. That's taking a fifth year away. So with the fifth year, they were up there. Now just the last four, they're 18.
It's almost like how can you, at Nebraska, not be in the top 20 in recruiting?
And they have.
He has been there.
Yep.
But they do have normally I wouldn't be all concerned in whatever. What month is this, July?
July.
But it is going to be a small class.
But
it's hard to get a changer.
But you got to get a feller or two.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some four stars that are out there that have announcement dates that are upcoming. But how many guys are you just going to stumble upon once you get into the season? They need one guy, like, as a well-known big-time player to say yes, that attracts maybe one or two other guys. But it also may be, and I think this might be the case, I think they're with a smaller class, they have shifted where they want, if they're taking 14 to 15 guys, they want everybody to hit.
Mm-hmm.
They don't
That's
want,
the only way
they
can
don't
do
want
it.
Some
I mean,
guys to flake.
SC had to do it for a couple of years.
They don't want guys to flake, so all of a sudden a 15-man class, by the time they're in their second or third year, is down to eight or nine. And they may be recruiting safe. Let's go after guys that we know.
That's definitely part of it.
That we are going to get.
I think that's definitely part of it. I mean,
looking at last year,
they're into fit right now more than I've ever at any point.
But
and that's
but do you think that comes from last year?
Well, part of it.
Where you liked your class last year, and then in a weird year it fell apart. Where it's going to catch up to you down the road of. The number game that you have to play where you're going to be forced to jump into the portal.
I think he likes his depth here more than he has at any point.
10 of them last year committed after this date last year. 10 of them.
Yeah.
So yesterday's date, excuse me. 10 of them since yesterday. Last year committed after this date. So, I mean.
You're still only talking about, it's numbers, though.
And they have
like,
seven more to go.
You're talking about seven out of 15.
They have seven more to go. They got 20 last year if they get 15 this year. I'm just saying he's closed well. In terms of his numbers in the years since he's been.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that one bit. What I'm telling you is, in a small class, if you want to move the rankings, it has to be of star quality. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no – I don't care when they commit. There's just no two ways above that to move the meter that much. Because you can't do it with volume. There isn't volume.
And there's probably, in this class, I mean, you got your quarterback. How many of the guys that have committed to Nebraska do you have guaranteed in your Super Six?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I have to think about that. I'm glad
I know who's not in my Super Six.
They just need that one guy. That one guy that brings another guy and another guy with them because he committed to Nebraska.
Mm. I mean, really, Graham Page was the one guy that, when we watched the tape thing, that was the one that really jumped off the page from the kid from Boulder. He definitely would be.
And what is he? Is he 6'3"?
6'3", yeah. And I thought he was – he's only a three-star, but you watch his tape, and he's got a lot of upside.
And you know what would help? You got a chance for guys that you don't – you know, either you're waiting on or you haven't been able to get in the door to establish a relationship. If you do start 4-1 and you come home for a night game in October against a conference team in your own division where you could load up on visits – because they're not gonna have visits for Fordham. I mean, they'll have me, you, and Michael.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole recruiting angle of that is BS. But if you start 4-1 and you got a little momentum, I mean, you could have a monster back to back weekends. Wait, with Northwestern and Michigan.
Who's after so we go. I'm trying to think who that fourth win's going to be.
Michigan State.
Michigan, okay, yeah.
Week after Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You could have, if you started 4-1 and you're looking at it from the recruiting angle and you need to close with, they maybe get one more before the season starts, so maybe you need 6 or 7. You could have back-to-back big weekends because you'd go Northwestern Michigan at home in October.
At Illinois, Fordham, Buffalo. At Oklahoma is the 18th. At Michigan State, I think Michigan State is at this point going to be proved to be must win.
Well, you can't let Michigan or Oklahoma beat you twice. And if you're trying to sell me progress would be
That wouldn't happen to you.
Progress would be I've won 2 road games. Michael, what's the record of Frost in 3 years on the road? Are they 3 wins?
Rutgers.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Maryland
on the road. They beat Rutgers on the road. Did they beat Illinois the 1 year?
Yes. So I think those are the 3.
That was the night game. That was it.
So if you could do that, and you're selling me progress, you're not only 2-0 in your own in 2-0 in the conference, but you've got 2 road wins. I don't care where they're at. You've got 2 road wins.
Yeah, which is then October which has eluded you.
Yeah. I mean that's if that's all going on, you could say, all right, the one mega power we played stumbled, but we took care of the other stuff and we're 4-1. And now the season gets real because you go Northwestern, Michigan back to back. You're in the heart of the conference season. You got that 3-game stretch to begin the month before a bye where you go Northwestern, Michigan, and then you got to go to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So you will have, by the middle of October, you'll be halfway done through your own division.
Those last 4 games, it can tell you everything about this team. How healthy they are, how they deal with playing teams they haven't beaten before. That last 4 teams is going to be interesting.
We're missing one. So there's 4.
Purdue. Purdue's the other one.
I keep forgetting that because that was that at night too?
That was a Saturday after the first week, Saturday in December.
Yeah. We went to the Purdue game that they blew at the end where they have them, you know, just you think they're going to win.
Where they called the timeout and ran the reverse.
That was a JoJo Doman play.
Crazy. Even the drive before that, you know, Nebraska looked good on that drive.
See, this is the other thing that's frustrating with this team the last 3 years. There are moments like
they're not beating West Virginia, by the way.
There's all kinds of
You don't think so? They play their best 2 games every year in the first 2 games of the season. They for some reason, remember they got Penn State, got rolled by Penn State, like after coming out.
How about they beat Texas?
Yeah.
I like.
That's their
like
best.
So, you know, like if you look at any of the previews of either the Bill Connelly mega preview of the Big Ten West the other day or Phil Steele, when it comes to Wisconsin, and remember Graham Mertz is still the quarterback there, Wisconsin is in that stage where you just trust them to be good.
Yeah.
So you don't second guess a lot.
That's how Northwestern is third in the West.
So let's use this. Let's apply that.
You got 8 starters back.
Let's apply that thinking to Nebraska. Here's the frustrating thing. When you get to the point where you want to start to trust certain things, you're quickly reminded that you can't. And I think about the Purdue game. Weren't there a lot of elements of the Purdue game, the way they, the play calling, all of a sudden quarterback power came back where you went, okay. And then what happened 7 days later?
No, I know.
None of that stuff in the play calling that you were successful against Purdue existed.
Did you watch Illinois?
Yeah. I mean, it's you
that was coming off a win. Like, you emotionally, you have to be better.
But that's why that it gets all of this, everything that we'll say between now and August 28th comes back to the importance of that game and momentum. Where you haven't been able to seize momentum to begin a season since you've been here. And it has tripped you up, and you've been playing from behind the whole rest of the season. You know, if 19 you win at Colorado and you're 2-0, look how that changes that season.
Believe me, I've heard horror stories about what happened after that game. I get it.
Football's simple, Damon.
Yeah.
There are three parts to it, and all three of them have to be at least good. If one of them is really bad, then you're not going to be good. And they've had one that's really bad in special teams.
Denny is on to this. Three speakers, no hair. Kevin Warren, PJ Fleck, Mike Locksley. If Frost, we've seen Frost already today. So he's
got his hair. Yeah. He's got his hair.
Now that would be something. I think that would probably steal the spotlight of anything else he would say, is if he showed up and he had no hair.
Just shave. It's like about 60% of the male population. Bald or balding.
Guys, thanks. We'll carry See you later, Scott,
buddy.
Next.
All right, buddy.